B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel. We're going to start from the Mishnah, six lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis Omud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, in order to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, ein ma'avirin olav es ha'tchum, one's not allowed to go outside the tchum. We know that this is only a rabbinical restriction, but one's not allowed to go outside and beyond 2,000 amos from one's place of residence. Something we learnt about extensively in Maseches Erevin. One's not allowed to go beyond 2,000 amos on Shabbos. This has nothing to do with carrying. Just walking out, you're not allowed to go outside the tchum on Shabbos. Now, even though listening to the shofar is a mitzvah min ha-Torah, and going outside the tchum is an issa d'rabbanon, nonetheless, the Chachomim said, b'sheva al taisa, they said that we're not allowed to go outside the tchum in order to hear the shofar. Ve'ein mefakhin olav es hagal, and if there's a pile, a heap of stones, a heap of rubble piled on top of a shofar, then you're not allowed to clear away this pile in order to take out the shofar. And the common denominator between these two rabbonons, these two isurim drabbonon, one is muktza, mefakhin es hagal, and one is tchum, is that the two of them, they're not types of isurim derabonon that are there to uphold and protect an issa d'oraisa, to avoid an issa, a biblical issa, from being transgressed. These are just regular derabonons, and even those, one's not allowed to transgress, even in order to fulfill the requirement of hearing shofar. The next part of the Mishnah, loy oilin be'ilon, one's not allowed to go up on a tree to get a shofar, and this is also only asa midrabbonon. But the reason that you're not allowed to go up on a tree is a little bit more severe than the drabbonons of tchum and muktza, and that is because if you go up on a tree, we're afraid you're going to pick something off the tree, and that would be a severe issa. V'loy reichvin al gabe behema, nor is one allowed to ride on an animal on Shabbos in order to hear the shofar. V'loy shotim al pnei ha'mayim, nor is one allowed to swim on water. And these are types of drabonons that are there in to prevent a person from transgressing biblical isurim. And the Gemara is going to ask that if you're not allowed to transgress the more basic types of drabonons, it would go without saying you're not allowed to transgress these. Why does the Mishnah have to mention them? Now for the next part of the Mishnah. Ve'in choytchin oisei, one's not allowed to cut, to repair a shofar, to cut a shofar, to prepare a shofar, bein bedover shum mishum shvus, neither with a type of a tool, which is an unusual way of cutting it, where doing that would be called fixing, and it would only be on a rabbinical level, because it's unusual, or bein bedover shum mishum leisase, or using a tool which is a regular, normal way of fixing the shofar and preparing the shofar, which would involve a biblical issa, or a proper melacha. You're not allowed to transgress either of these. And here again, the Gemara is going to ask, if you're not allowed to do a rabbinical isser, of course you're not allowed to do a biblical one. The next stage of the Mishnah, if you want to put wine or water through the shofar, even on Shabbos, even though it would look like you're fixing the shofar, you're cleaning the shofar, nonetheless, since the shofar can be sounded even without it, it's not considered fixing and it's mutter. If a child wants to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we don't stop him, even though normally we don't play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov, besides for blowing the shofar to do the mitzvah. But if a child is blowing the shofar, we do not restrain him, we don't need to stop him. On the contrary, in some cases, if the child is old enough, we even encourage him to engage in blowing the shofar until he becomes skilled enough to be able to blow the shofar. And that's part of chinuch, teaching him the mitzvah of shofar. And this is even on Shabbos and we'll see in the Gemara. V'hamis asik, if somebody is just absent-mindedly playing with a shofar, blowing into a shofar, or just messing around with the shofar, he didn't even intend to sound the sound of a tkiah, shvorim tkiah, and of course he wasn't intending to fulfill his mitzvah, then lo yotza, he's not yotza. V'ashe mea min hamis asik, if somebody hears the sound of somebody who sounded the sounds of the shofar absent-mindedly, lo yotza, the person who was listening to him is not yotza, hasn't fulfilled his requirement. Says the Gemara, my tam, what would be the reason that one is not allowed to transgress these, one's not allowed to transgress these prohibitions for shofar? Answers the Gemara, shofar asehu, because the mitzvah of shofar is just a mere mitzvah asei. The Yom Tov, however, Yom Tov is an asei, the lois asei. Not doing a melacha on Yom Tov is an issa of an asei and a lois asei. Ve'ein asei ve'lois asei, ve'ein asei doichas lois asei ve'asei. A mitzvah asei of shofar does not override the prohibition of doing labor, of doing melachas that are also on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do them on Yom Tov, even for the sake of doing a mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Loi oilin ba'ilon. One's not allowed to go up on a tree, v'lo yorich v'nal gabe behema. And this was the second stage in the Mishnah, the types of derabonons that are that little bit more serious than the first derabonons of Tchum and Mefakhin Olavis Hagal, which is Muktzah. And the Gemara is now going to ask, Hashta derabonon omrus, if the first two, which are just pure derabonons, not even there to uphold a doiraisa, to prevent a biblical issa from being transgressed, you're not allowed to, doiraisa, then those isurim derabonon that are just, which are even more stringent, they are there to stop us doing isurim doiraisa, niboya, it should go without saying that you're not allowed to transgress them. Why does the Mishnah explicitly have to say, v'loi oilin b'ilon, etc.? It would be taken for granted. Answers the Gemara, you're right, but there's a rule in Mishnayos that goes, Zu v'ein tzarech leima zu katoni. It's as if the Mishnah is saying, these things are osa, and it goes without saying that these things are also osa, and then the Mishnah says those things, which could really go without saying, the Mishnah says them. Continues the Gemara to the next stage of the Mishnah, V'ein choit chinoisa, you're not allowed to prepare and fix a shofar, bein bedavar shu mishum shvus, neither with a tool, which is an unusual way of doing it, and hence would only be a bit rabbinical issa, ubein bedavar shu mishum loisase, and nor is he allowed to transgress a proper melocha by fixing the shofar with a tool, which is the normal way of fixing the shofar. Says the Gemara, Mishum Shvus, what type of tool is an unusual way of fixing a shofar? Maglo, with a sickle. You don't typically fix a shofar with a sickle. Loisase, what type of tool is called fixing makabepatish and using it will involve a strict biblical issa? Sakino, using a knife. Says the Gemara, Hashta Mishum Shvus Amras Loi, if you said you're not allowed to use a sickle to fix a shofar, even though it's only an osa derabonon because it's unusual, loisa semiboya, does it not go without saying that you're not allowed to fix a shofar with a knife, which is a proper malacha? And again, the Gemara answers, zu ve'in tzarech leima zu ktoni, indeed, it was not necessary, but the Mishnah says that this is osa, and it goes without saying that this is also osa, and the Mishnah tells us what could have been self-understood. Continues the Gemara, Aval im rotzo litein netoichei mayim o yayin, if you want to put wine or water through the shofar, yitein, you're allowed to, because the shofar can be used even without it. Says the Gemara, mayim o yayin in, you're allowed to pour wine and water into the shofar, but meirag laim loy, if you wanted to put urine through the shofar, possibly to clean it, one can deduce from the Mishnah that you're not allowed to do. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Mani, who's this Tanna, who would hold this way? Abba Shaul, it would be Abba Shaul in the Braise, the Tanya Abba Shaul, Oymer, Mayim Oyayin Mutter, one's allowed to put wine and water through the shofar, Kedei Letzachzachoy, in order to clean it. Meir Aglaim Osar, however, you're not allowed to put urine through the shofar, Bipnei HaKovid, it's disrespectful to use urine to clean out a mitzvah, a shofar. Continues the Gemara, the next part of the Mishnah, Ein ma'akvinis antinoikis militkoya, we do not restrain children from blowing the shofar. Says the Gemara, Ha noshim ma'akvin, it seems from the Mishnah that only children, we allow them to continue blowing on Rosh Hashanah, but women, we stop them, and we don't let them. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, did we not learn in a brisa in ma'akvin loyes hanoshim veloyes atinoikis militkoya b'yomtiv? We learnt in a brisa that we do not restrain not children nor women from blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Answers the Gemara, Omer Abaya loykash. Abaya says it's not a contradiction. Ha, in our Mishnah that says that only children are not stopped, but women are stopped. That's the opinion of Reb Yehuda, who says that women, not only are they exempt from the mitzvah of shofar, but since they're exempt, if they do it, they've transgressed the issa of Baal Tosif of adding new mitzvahs. A woman who's exempt from shofar, because it's a mitzvah which is restricted to time, to the day of Rosh Hashanah, they're exempt. If they're exempt, they're not allowed to do the mitzvah. If you're not allowed to do the mitzvah, you're not allowed to blow the shofar. However, the braisa that says that we allow women to blow, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who hold that even though they're exempt from shofar, but they're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, even though it's a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, and since they're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah, we don't stop them from blowing. The Tanya we learned in a braisa regarding smicha, leaning on an animal, on a korban, before it's offered up as a korban. The pasuk says, Dabir el b'nei Yisrael, that this is a pasuk that's talking to the b'nei Yisrael, to the men, to the males. V'omar talem odom ki yakriv mikem korban l'ashem min abehimo min abokor min atzoin takriv es korbanchem. So the Gemara deduces, Rabbi Yehuda deduces in the Braisa, b'nei Yisrael soimchim, that only the males, the boys, the men, they lean on the animal before bringing the korban. V'ein b'nei Yisrael soimchis, however, the women, they are exempt. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon say, Noshim, Soim Chis Rashus, we agree that they're exempt, but if they want to, they're allowed to do the mitzvah. And the same applies to mitzvah Saseish Azman Groma. Rabbi Yehuda says, if they're exempt, they're not allowed to do the mitzvahs. You're not allowed to add mitzvahs. And since they're not allowed to blow shofar, we stop them blowing shofar. However, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, they hold that they're allowed to do the mitzvahs. They're allowed to do the mitzvah Saseish Azman Groma, and hence we don't stop them blowing on Rosh Hashanah. Continues the Gemara, Aval misaskin bohen achiyil medu, that the children, we engage in them with the blowing of shofar until they're skilled and they know how to blow the shofar. Omer Belozer, Belozer says, Afilu b'Shabbos, even though on a regular Shabbos one's not allowed to blow any musical instrument, but Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, min ha-Torah you're allowed to blow any instrument, and min ha-Torah, there's a mitzvah of blowing shofar on Shabbos. Just for reasons discussed earlier in the Masechta, we don't always blow shofar on Shabbos. But or not everywhere, that's a discussion in the Mefarshim, whether this is dependent on whether one blows shofar, a time when one blows shofar on Shabbos, where the Beis Din is or not. But either way, in a place that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, Rabbi Elazar says that even on Shabbos, one's allowed to allow children and even engage children in learning how to blow the shofar. Tani Nami Achi, we learned even in a braisa, misaskin bohen adri yilmadu afilu b'Shabbos, you're allowed to engage children in blowing shofar even on Shabbos, so they should learn how to blow the shofar. Continues Rabbi Elazar, ve'ein ma'akvin hatinoikos militkoya b'Shabbos. Means the braisa carries on and says that we do not stop, we do not prevent children from blowing the shofar on Shabbos. Ve'ein tzorich loimar b'yom tov, and it goes without saying that we don't stop them on Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara ha'gufa kashya. This seems to be a contradiction here. Omrus misasken b'hem, first you say that we engage them achiyilmadu, until they learn. That would seem to be that you can even tell them, blow the shofar, we'll teach you how. V'afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. Alma l'katchila omrin on tiku. That even l'katchila we tell them, blow. V'hodotona, and then the braisa says, ein ma'akvin, we don't stop them from blowing on Shabbos or Yom Tov, which would seem that ikuvu hu d'lei ma'akvin, we don't stop them. Ho l'katchila lo omrin on tiku, but we don't tell them, go blow the shofar to learn how to do it. Says the Gemara lo ikashya, it's not a contradiction. Kan, when are we talking about, when does the braisa say that you're allowed to tell a child to even blow on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos in order to learn? That's bekotten sheigia lechinuch. That's talking about a child who's already of chinuch age. He understands the mitzvahs he's doing, and we can already, so to speak, educate him. And then we say, blow the shofar, we'll teach you how to blow. But kan, when the braisa says that we don't stop them, but we don't tell them to blow, is bekotten shelo yegia lechinuch. It's talking about a child who's not yet of the age of chinuch, and therefore there's no reason in the world we should tell him to blow. If he blows, we don't need to stop him. Continues the Gemara, that we saw in the Mishnah of Hamisasek, if somebody absent-mindedly is just playing with the shofar and by chance a tkiah or a teruah came out of the shofar, lo yotza, you're not yotza. So what do we deduce from there, says the Gemara? That ha toikea l'shir, if he did intend to blow, to sound a tkia or a shvarim or a trua, he just didn't intend to do a mitzvah, he just intended to sing a song of tkia, shvarim, trua, but he didn't have intentions of doing the mitzvah, nonetheless yatza, he was yatza. Asks the Gemara, leima masiyale l'rava, maybe this is going to be proof to Rava, the Omar Rava said, that hatoikea l'shir, if somebody blows the shofar and he sounds the right tones, the right sounds, but he does it l'shir, just in order to have some musical entertainment, he didn't intend to fulfill his requirement of mitzvah shofar with it, Rava said yatza. So the Gemara is asking, do we have proof from our Mishnah that says that only misasek, if you absent-mindedly sounded the tone, then you're not yatza. But if you sounded the tone l'shir, you are yaitza. Says the Gemara, no, you don't have proof, because it could well be that when our Mishnah said misaseik lo yaitza, included in being absent-minded, dilma tokeash l'shir nami misaseik korile. It could be that absent-minded means that you didn't have your mind on fulfilling the mitzvah. It doesn't matter whether you had in mind to sound the sounds of a shofar, tkiah shvarim trua, or whether you we're not planning on sounding any sound, maybe they're both called misasek, and when the Mishnah says misasek layotza, it could be that both you're not yotza, and therefore there's no proof to Rava who says that if you're tokea l'shir, you are yotza. Continues the Gemara, v'ashemea mina misasek, somebody else, not every person has to blow the shofar himself, you can hear somebody else blow the shofar and be yotza. However, if you're hearing somebody who's absent-mindedly blowing a shofar, then the person who's hearing the shofar, lo yotza, is also not yotza. Says the Gemara, aval hashemea min hamashmia la'atzmoy. What happens if Reuven is blowing for himself with the intentions of being yotza the mitzvah? But Reuven didn't intend to allow, he didn't intend Shimon to hear his sounds and to be yotza Shimon's mitzvah with it. So the Gemara seems to say that only if you're hearing from a misasek, from somebody who absent-mindedly sounded the shofar, he's not yotza. But if you heard from somebody who was not absent-mindedly blowing the shofar, he was intentionally blowing the shofar with the intentions of doing the mitzvah, he just didn't intend to be yotza you. Nonetheless, the Gemara asks, "Mai, what's the halacha?" The Gemara says, "Yotza, you're actually yotza." Says the Gemara, "Leima to have a tiyufta de Reb Zeira." Maybe this is a contradiction, a refutation against Reb Zeira. The Omale Reb Zeira l'shame. Reb Zeira said to the person who was looking after him, to his shamish, he said to him, "Ichvan, have in mind that I should fulfill my mitzvah when you sound the shofar, v'tkali, and blow for me." So you see, clearly Reb Zeira said it's not good enough that he has in mind that he should be yotza his own mitzvah, he has to have in mind also to be yotza, to be moitzi the person who's listening. And that seems to be against what we're saying here, from that what the Gemara deduces from our Mishnah, that only Shemea min HaMisasek is not yotza, but Shemea min HaMashmia is yotza. Says the Gemara, Dilma Aida de Tana Resha Misasek, Tana Sefer Nami Misasek. It could be our Mishnah means that in order for anyone to be Yotza by listening, by hearing the sounds of the shofar, the person who's sounding the shofar has to have had in mind that you should fulfill your mitzvah. Then you're going to ask a question, and that's exactly what Reb Zeira said. You're going to ask a question, why then does the Mishnah say that Hashemea min HaMisasek lo Yotza, that only somebody who's listening from an absent-minded blower is not yotza, but when the truth is that even somebody who's listening to a not absent-minded blower, to somebody who intends to do the mitzvah of shofar, he just didn't have in mind that you should fulfill your mitzvah with his sounds, that's also not yotza. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? So that the Gemara says, because the Mishnah was a few words earlier, was talking about absent-minded blowers, so the Mishnah continued speaking about absent-minded blowers. In the same way as HaMisasek LaYotza, so too HaShemea MisAsik LaYotza. But in actual truth, but as far as Shemea, as far as listening to the sounds of a shofar, you're not yotza, even if the person blowing is not a misasek, is not absent-minded, he just didn't have in mind that you should fulfill your mitzvah with his sounds, and you still won't be yotza, as Reb Zeira said. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.